Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's 7 p.m. and this is The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. Nicole is in New York City and I'm down here in Lake Worth, Florida. And tonight we are going to ponder the question that Joni Mitchell put out there. Is God a boogeyman?
He is three, one's in the middle unmoved, waiting to show what he sees to the other two, to the one attacking, so afraid, and the one that keeps trying to love and trust and getting himself betrayed. In the plan, ooh, the divine plan, God must be a boogeyman.
God must be a boogeyman.
One so sweet, so overly loving and gentle, he lets people into his innermost sacred temple. Blind faith to care, blind rage to kill. Why do you let him talk him down to cheap work and cheap thrills? In the plan, the insulting plan, God must be a boogeyman.
God must be a
Listen, Nick, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I'll say that. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I recounted what you've been saying for a while now through this shift that we're going through this year of, you know, if you have a roof over your head and you have food on your table and some people that stand by you and love you, that you're not just surviving, you're winning, you're making it. So that's really helpful, right?
Well, it all depends on how you define life. And it goes back to those questions that everybody really finds pretty, I guess, childish to answer anymore, but they really do cut right to the quick of it all, and that would be start out with, is the glass half empty or half full, and then travel on out and ask, if the tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? Basically, we define our lives. It's conceptual. It's our concept of life is what our lives truly are. You know, when you close your eyes and you say ta-ta, it's about what you hold in your heart. And if you've held a lot of fear and a lot of hardship, that's a lot to travel away with, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you have some glorious bright moments and some very, very brightly burning or radiating relationships and bonds that are non-binding but bonds that hold through a good relationship, you know, with love, you know, laughter cures grief, and I do know this. I know in my bones, I know it, that love is the power of the universe, and love transcends death every time. I don't think we lose that. I don't think we lose what it binds us to, and I don't mean bind in a bad way. I mean, you know, because sometimes you listen to folks talking about karmic and dharmic wheels and the ties we have to our ancestors and such, and they make it sound like it's all about right now at this time we've got to transmute all of this bad karma and come up clean. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute, man. I feel like, once again, like Captain Kirk in the original Star Trek series, who claims, you know, don't take my pain away from me. I don't want pure bliss. I want my pain. My pain makes me who I am. It defines me. And I think that's true. I think that all of our travels and all of our hardships and all of our great joys and successes and delights, it's everything that makes us in, it would be a shame if it's only hardship that makes us, but here again,
all of it.
Yeah, even if there's a majority of hardship, doesn't it make that joyous moment all that more glorious?
Mm-hmm. And especially with being in the moment and allowing, putting down your burden with every moment within your life instead of just waiting until the end to have this big burden. I think going through these little deaths that sometimes, of course, feel very big, but allowing parts of yourself to evaporate that no longer serve you. And that's been really helpful to me, especially in the last few weeks of, I keep hearing that, put down your burden. It's in the Tai Chi Master movie. There's a man who's walking down a road, and he's got this huge bundle of twigs and branches on his back, and somebody runs from his village to him, and he says, your wife's having a baby. Come on, run. let's go. And so he tries to go with his burden, but of course he's slow. And the guy turns around and he says, put down your burden. Let's just go. Put down your burden. And the Tai Chi master, that's when he comes out of his, he's lost in that part of the movie. And he's, and that's what makes it click for him, your burden. Because he's distraught by all these things that have happened to him and all these deaths. So, and that's when he starts to understand the principles of you know, be like water and working with the elements. So, and it's one of my favorite movies. I see it all the time. And, but yet, I find myself walking around with some sort of burden for like 4 days until I remember to down my burden, and that's part of it. And oh, look, you're looking at a pile of sticks. Why are you carrying that? Well, I don't know. So, you know, that kind of baby steps.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's funny you're talking about it. It's a movie you see a lot. I think we all have our favorite pacifiers, mind pacifiers that we will cling to from the television world, as it were. This last couple of weeks, the Encore channel has had a Hitchcock festival going on, and one of my favorite movies is Hitchcock's last one, which was called Family Plot.
I haven't seen that one.
It's a real good mystery movie, and it stars Disney actress Barbara Harris with Bruce Dern, and they're the good guys versus the guy who used to play the Kennedy roles. I can't remember his name. Karen Black as jewel thieves, and she's a quasi psychic who's really a phony, but she's got a good heart, and her boyfriend Bruce Dern is cab driver. Well, the story revolves around, you know, always wanting more and running to get ahead, and you know, it, I don't know for what reason, but this movie comforts me. It talks about the illusion of death, physical death, and it symbolically has a lot in it, and like a Hitchcock movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been enjoying it as sort of a comfort late at night when I... Do you know what I mean by the Hour of the Wolf?
Mm-hmm. But explain.
And when that comes along, I just wake up and say, okay, let me turn my cable back on and watch a bit of Family Plot. And so we all have something that we do that gives us comfort. And really, for myself, it's not just that, but it'll be to come out and to begin to clean herbs, create incense and put it on the shelf, something that I do that I put energy and love and care into, you know, with my own job. And that'll help me a great deal. That's my meditation. I also like to fish and be in the water. But we do have these pacifiers, I suppose, that we use in a meditative way that can calm us down and get us back to a place in the center. I guess your movie is representative of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That and Doctor Who, for some reason, right now, is really talking to me. It's the newer ones, and all the actors that play Doctor Who are fantastic. But
I'm hearing
a
lot lately by people I know, especially my blog friends, my writer friends.
They're into it, too?
Big Doctor Who people, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a mentality, and I realize that my favorite characters right now are Doctor Who, the new Sherlock Holmes with the love of my life right now, Benedict Cumberbatch, because who doesn't want to be in love with a guy named Benedict Cumberbatch? But anyway, But that character and Hercule Poirot, the Agatha Christie character, for some reason the three of them bring me such comfort right now, and I think it's because all of them are looking to are thinking outside of the box, and they all march to their own drummer, and everyone thinks that they're a little odd or not, but they stick with themselves, and clearly that's something that's calling out to me right now, and that's definitely what.
Is that we could divine one another by what we watch. My big piece, I told you that I'm liking Family Plot, but my biggies are I've been rewatching The X-Files, and there's a show on NBC called Grimm, which I love, and it's about a hunter who goes after the nasty changelings in the world, and it's ancient stories. And my other favorite is Supernatural with the Boys.
and
Beautiful Impala and the cute boys. So and it's what they do. They're out there watching the world go through this huge change, and they're heroes in the story. And that appeals to me. I've always resonated with the that Palladian storyline, which makes us the bringers of the dawn, the world changers, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to remember and really understand. You know, it's like you wake up to yourself and you go, okay, I realize and understand that I have come here for a reason, because it sits correctly with my soul. It feels like the truth. We all know what that feels like. So, you know, you get there, and then when you're going through these hardships or moments of disequilibrium where you're in a learning curve, you know, you're like, what? But then when you can step outside, you were saying earlier today, step outside of yourself and look at yourself from the big picture and why you're doing this. And also, like you mentioned today, giving yourself the credit for knowing, for what you're really doing, the fact that it really is changing the world from your headquarters, whatever that is, and it's, you know, what else would you want to be doing?
Well, it always strikes me as strange, and it has all my life, you know, that people don't seem to get it the way I do. And of course, I was the one who was outside of the larger crowd. I was the ostracized one. I still am. So are you. I mean, if you're walking around saying the world is going through a monumental shift and we're at an evolutionary place for the species and a planetary consciousness is manifesting, the majority of society in America right now looks at you and goes, New Age motherfucker, don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, right.
And you're going to try to scam me for some kind of, you know, sweat lodge ceremony for $2,000. It's like, you know, and you can't really blame them on one hand. On the other hand, there are a lot of us who have been out here since, you know, 1987, when Jose Arguez had everybody down at Chichen Itza and was saying, you know, this is called harmonic convergence. It's an astrological alignment that the classic Maya observed and spoke about and made a notation of, and it's leading into a winter solstice and a year up the road 26 years later, you know, which we are just shy of by a couple of months now. It's amazing to really understand that we are just a couple of months shy of an alignment with between our sun, which is a great lens and magnifier of the energies to not just the Earth, but to every planet in our solar system. So it's, you know, it's not just a great big old alignment for Earth. It is a humongous alignment for the whole solar system. So all of your houses are getting shook around like monkeys in cages right now. It's like they said, just get fucking used to it, all right?
Yeah, and there's something to being ahead of your time. I mean, if we look at anybody, you know, between Van Gogh or Einstein, or, you know, even my father, you know, understanding things back when people didn't talk like this. And now I understand so much what he was going through and the angst of really being the only one and not having the internet to be able to connect with people all around the world, you know, have a bigger gene pool. So, you know, somebody's got to be the ones that get it first, right? I mean,
well, yeah,
I'd rather get it than not get it.
We're reaching for critical mass right now is what we're doing. And we have all the tools, too. And because we perhaps, let me just preface this, in perhaps right now we basically have all of this that we understand and realize, and in good integrity with good intentions, even though we might be part of the bitchy, moany, whiny crowd, you know, frankly, the happy-go-lucky, up in the air, every day is a wonderful flower parade group, are the ones who are making money and blowing smoke up people's asses a lot of the time. Did I just say that? On air?
I mean, you know, it happens. It does happen.
A badass. Okay, let me, no, I'm not going to rephrase that, but what I am going to say is plenty of the people who are blowing smoke up people's asses are doing it in a very good way with a very good integrity, too. I'm not going to take anything away from myself or from my fellows who realize, you know, that we are here. It's when you do it disingenuously. It's when you lie about it, when you, you know, like what's-his-name out there and Ray, what's-his-name out there in Sedona getting all, you know, leading people to their deaths in a sweat lodge ceremony. That is pretty bad.
And wow.
Basically, you know, most people who are in the new age, new consciousness, metaphysical, spiritual, pagan, am I getting them all? Indigenous shamanic community, mostly everyone who carries and walks and talks, has an understanding of what Mr. Lennon was trying to say by instant karma gets you, because I think instant karma, like homeopathy, right now is running at a speed of light. It's very fast. It's very quick. Mm-hmm. And even if we, if it doesn't seem to be because we seem to go through more of an emotional strain or stress than usual, that's because of the acceleration of things, too. And it's up to us to, you know, to snap out of it. You remember Cher and Moonstruck, since we're on this movie, Misty?
Yeah. Wow, that's so wild. My friend just said that to me. She's like, remember Moonstruck? I just wanted to take him and go, listen, snap out of it.
It's time to snap out of it. And
yeah,
you made a very good reference to it in saying to folks, you know, you got to realize if the people you love, for the most part, everybody's, you know, healthy and is enjoying a roof over their heads and you know, growing and learning. And it's not just about survival. It's about enjoying some of the time that you spend every day enjoying your life. We're living in fucking ass exciting times, man. It's all about your perception, your view. And because things are so accelerated, it is exciting. It's also very scary. It's very scary. The more you're awakened, the more if you're able to get afraid, you know, if you're able to reach back into yesterday and bring some of that, some of the fear out with you, it's almost like you've carried 10 times the weight forward than you usually do. And if you're afraid about tomorrow, about making whatever deadline or getting there or what have you, and you're projecting tomorrow and you're doing it with fear, it's almost an unbearable strain. And it, when you get, I got to tell you, in the last couple of years, I've noticed that when I do this and when then I get past it, I look back and realize, my God, that was ridiculous. I cost myself peace of mind or good health, clarity, and a good heart for what? So fake it till you make it. It works.
Yeah.
I'm experiential in that. I've done it before in the past, and it works for me. So if a couple of minutes every day people can stop, put things aside, clear it off, and just see themselves. And, you know, if there are things that need attending to that tomorrow depends on, see yourself in tomorrow. It's like Esther Hicks says, as Abraham says, you know, use your vortex. It's already there. And if you're having trouble clearly seeing and setting that into the vortex, well, something's wrong with that idea, and it should be coming back to you very clearly that you have to adjust that vision, that view of your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also about folks who are, you know, some folks would love to live, you know, on the top of the mountain, but they can't, they don't understand what it takes, you know, climbing all the stairs up to it. They think that there's an elevator, I guess. I don't know, but you follow what I mean there.
Go ahead.
You have to climb the steps, you know?
Right. And by climbing the steps, I think you also have to, sometimes you have to, you know, fall off the ladder a little bit or, you know, go realize that you're outside of your vortex. It's just
that's
part of it.
That's the fun. That's the rodeo. That's the fucking rodeo. When do we all get to be such pussy bitches? I mean, come on.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
That's the rodeo. This is the adventure, man. All the really good shit I like. I mean, Christ, they fired up the Millennium Falcon, and he said, I got a bad feeling about this, and we loved it. We rode with them. Oh, man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
You're absolutely right.
I'd rather put my horse up in that stable. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And I find one thing that helps with that is also accepting what is. You know, you do your thing, you know, like my greatest example right now is the editing. You know, you do something and you wait 3 hours and you render it and it's not right. And you go, crap, all right. And then if you can immediately go, okay, so let's try a different way. Try it, don't work. But how you deal with those don't works, I think, you know, it's like you're so programmed to go into some sort of frustration mode. And I made a decision that no matter what happens, every time I waited these 3 hours, if it didn't work, I choose not to get frustrated. I choose to understand that whatever's working, I understand that I did everything the way I see it as being correct. It's not like I'm half-assing it and, you know, my focus
No, you're learning and growing. You're learning
right.
and growing. And mistakes or failures are just the steps that get you
That's
to
right.
the top of the mountain. For gosh sakes, we know these things.
Right.
And really, I think that this is the trick, is that if we can just for 2 minutes every day sit and hold ourselves in the moment, then, and even if we're faking it, mm-hmm. you'd be surprised how quickly things can shift. And it's something I guess we should have, you know, hammered into gold and wear around our necks or something so that we
yes.
don't
forget. Right.
Yeah. It's really just a couple of minutes every day. And for gosh sakes, have some energy about it. Good energy, you know. Hey,
yeah.
this is the rodeo. I'm here. I've bought my ticket. I'm taking my ride. You know, there's many ways to approach it. You can also be, you know, there's other people who are here to, you know, guide, instruct, help, teach, whatever, and they have other ways of presenting it, you know. There's many
right.
ways to look at it, but it all leads back to we're in a moment of time. It's pretty exciting. It ain't for sissies, but then again, everybody who's ever been born is here for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. You know, speaking of time, we're in the anniversary week of Flash Silver Moons. Wise Woman Tarot, she created 10 years ago, she created the Wise Woman Tarot. And she has a brand new, and I put the link into our chat room, she has a brand new shamanic wise woman spread for her card deck. And she is coming at it on this 10th anniversary. She's created a layout that takes you deeper into your path and the place that you actually are at on the sacred spiral or the journey of life in the greater overall, maybe the journey of soul. And it's a really wonderful, huge, pyramidal layout. And
wow.
it's got 12 cards. And she uses indicators that are different than, you know, the regular spread. She brings mind out first, and I think that's pretty smart because mind is what's always getting us in trouble.
Yeah, that's where it starts
and
goes.
The second card is body, and I guess that would represent what we were talking about between the macrocosm and the microcosm, that place of manifestation in between. The third is spirit, and that's the guiding influence, you know, the overall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking. And then...
Yep.
And then it's, you know, number four is the foundation, it's the past influences, and five is present influences, and six is immediate future, pretty much like the Celtic card spread. And then number seven is a wild card trickster.
Interesting that comes next. It's like, all right, and then we're going to throw you, bam, that.
Yeah. And then number eight, which is how people generally see things unfolding around you, which is a reflection, is the hidden challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And number nine, instead of being what we hold inside fearing, is ancestral help, which I
Great.
Think is kind of cool. Number mm-hmm. 10 is a definition or a defining of the journey. And number 11 is the mission on the journey,
wow.
and number 12 is the outcome of the quest.
Wow. That
so
is quite comprehensive.
Yeah, I think it's a really wonderful layout, something that can be used for folks, and that's at flashsilvermoon.com with her wonderful Wise Woman Tarot. Flash is also here on Here Be Monsters once a month with her Woman Spirit Rising on-air rituals and ceremonies. She does a beautiful job. It's all about bringing people together and healing the planet and everything that the regular world don't seem to be about.
Absolutely. I really have enjoyed the time working with Flash that we've done on our shows. I mean, she's really, it's funny, like now when I see her on Facebook, like, it's like, oh, of course that's Flash. Like, I kind of assume that, like, everybody knows who she is. It's like she's got such a specific energy, and it's like, yeah, man, there she is. I really like it. I like working with her a lot.
She's been around for quite a long time, and she said, well, she created the Wise Woman Festival down here in the South for many years. It's a lot of hard work. So go on over to FlashSilverMoon.com and check out her new Wise Woman Tarot with the, not the new, it's an anniversary issue of the Wise Woman Tarot with a new shamanic Wise Woman spread. And this is the one we just described, and it sounds fabulous. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to try it. And while we're at it, maybe we should plug our things. You want to plug your fabulous oils, and I'll talk about my fabulous show.
What? Let me actually do something that I should, yes. Hang on a second here.
Hi, this is Gwen. No doubt you're listening to me and Nicole or myself and Jack do a show right now, but I want to talk to you about one of the producers of the show, and that's Daughters of Isis, the Ancestor Aromacology. On August 15th, you'll be able to find daughtersofisis.com up on the internet with all our bottles there for you to look through, peruse. There'll be videos from folks who have worked with it, from myself, telling you how, what, where, who, when, with all the bottles we create. That's August 15th, daughtersofisis.com. And don't forget the I Love Nicole show on YouTube. Thank you for listening. We're glad to have you hear us. And as always, remember, you can always join us. Give us a ring. Okay, back to the show.
Yeah, that's 60s reverbing.
Yeah, nice. And I'll say that we finally have our new episode up on the website, ilovenicoleshow.com, with psychic energist Asa Hoffman, as well as the first of a series we're going to do of power workouts with Zion. And this is standing abs, how to work out your abs without having to get down on the floor for 3 minutes. And then we also have Drag Queen Sally, her debut of doing her guide to how to deal with extraterrestrials. So, check it out.
Yeah.
I love the full show.
Dad, I caught that. That's extraordinary. We'll have to have Sally on the show.
Nice. That would be fantastic. The next thing she's going to do is movie reviews for Netflix. So, you know, the do's and don'ts.
That ought to be fun.
Yeah, I think so. So there you go.
You know what else I've noticed that's going on out there in the wide, wide world right now? I go into a lot of different places. You know, the spiritual community under its many different flags and banners all over Facebook has more people in groups than any other genre on Facebook. Did you know that?
No. That's awesome.
I go into some rooms that I check out just about every other day, like the 2010 New Syrians and Arcturians room. That's a goodie. There's just several. Then they've got over like 18,000 people in that group.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
When you say you go into that room, do you mean you go to like their page on Facebook?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their page.
See what everyone's posting.
Yeah, their group, and I check out what's being posted. Now, I'm probably in and out of over 30 of them, I have found in the last week several, and of course some are posted the same thing, but I found enough different ones to really take a look and have my eyebrow arch automatically. I'm talking about UFOs. There's been a couple of videos made that are pretty.
Yep, I've seen one. Yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty extraordinary. I mean, they really do look like motherships up there.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
I don't trust. I can't do the due diligence, but as a video engineer, you might be able to tell. People can do so many things with film. I mean, I just made a video out of another video that it's really nice. I'll share with you, but I can't repost it. It's not completely my work. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Sure. Well, I saw a video of this guy from Philadelphia, you know, where I'm from, and he's clearly on his phone. Like, the video is not that great until, you know, he's kind of, like, moving around, and also, like, the street lights are kind of getting in the way. But there are points where you can clearly see, like, at least three and then, like, five, like, orbs, I guess, which is like energy balls. And they're moving around just like the other videos that I've seen of UFOs. Like, they kind of move and they converge and they come back. And they're not always there. And when they're not there, the lighting gets really dark in the video. So it's like, it doesn't make any sense that he would make a crappy video and, like, doctor
right.
it. Like,
the upload is pretty fast, and you can tell it's definitely a telephone video. Yeah, there are a few of them that are around. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded of the first time I saw the movie with Mel Gibson called Signs.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this video that people watch that's taken down, like, in Brazil or something, and it's aliens. You know, it has to do with the crop circles, and then aliens start landing, and they're not really too nice. But, you know, who knows what that's going to be about when it happens. It's called exopolitics. Did you know that?
Oh, no. They have a word for it.
Hey, it's called Whitley Schreiber, who took over for Art Bell on Coast to Coast for a while, is a real, this is his thing. There's several other and really decent researchers and writers and thinkers and scholars who have been keeping tabs on, of course, the UFO scene. Because it is a real scene. I mean, Dennis Kucinich knows there's UFOs out there. So does Jimmy Carter. You know, they don't have their heads up their butts about it. Type
right.
of thing.
Right.
Very crude this evening, huh? Well, but the point is that I've noticed in the last, and it's not just there, I've caught a couple of tweets where people are tweeting the videos of UFOs. And the UFOs are over America, over South America. I haven't seen anything European.
Mm-hmm.
Or down below, you know, no down under. Just the Americas.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, you know, I always think about the internet being blocked and things. Like, I always think there's a lot more going on than we're privy to. I've noticed good videos go up and down, you know, on YouTube. They tell you really good information. Next thing you know, it's not there.
Well, I hear what you're saying. That's why it's probably a smart thing, if you see one you really like, to capture it on your desktop with film, you know, like I do us when we're Skyping.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that you have some kind of record, even though YouTube takes it down. And it might be that there's blockage and that there is there's problems with the information flow. But on the whole, I'm going to go out there and say this. I think there's a whole lot more getting out than is being restricted. And the intelligence communities that are trying to bring things down simply don't have the brainiacs they really require to put the finger in the dike. You know what I'm saying? It's like a flood, and they just can't keep up with it. That's one of the reasons when they say, well, they're going to start to restrict the internet, this, that, and the other, and I'm thinking, yeah, right. I don't think it's even possible, not even conceptually, for them to do that anymore, because there's just so many ways to piggyback networks, and it's amazing what you
find out. It does come out. Well, and I have to say, you know, because maybe putting it out there, maybe it'll come back, but I watched I don't remember the man's name that made it, but it's called Moon Rising, and it's footage of the moon. The whole premise is that the pictures we've seen of the moon are these black and white video stills that look a lot like it looks from Earth. But actually, a lot of the pictures are inverted, so when you look at them right side up, you can clearly see things that look like structures and canals and all kinds of things. And also, they're in color. And they also have taken out the horizons. They've taken out, like, the crosshairs of the old, the old cameras used to all have crosshairs. So they put in a false horizon to hide, like, huge mountaintops and, once again, structures and ores and all kinds of things. And again, when you watch it, I mean, my greatest compass right now, and it hasn't failed me yet, is when it feels like the truth, it probably is. You can just feel it.
Here is the thing. That's the truth. It's our instinct and our intuition that I believe we're really being challenged to refine and polish right now. And this is one of the part and parcels, or this is part of the package in this evolutionary or shift right now, is the dusting off of and getting your extrasensory capacity or extrasensuality fine-tuned, you know? A lot of people, that's what I was making my my video on, and I still am, but I wanted to talk about just for a second, because it is important, and thanks for hitting on it. My whole company is created around this with the expression of from our ancestors, what they taught us about it, and it's from our physical senses to our subtle senses, you know, the oils to the flower essences, these tools through the stories of our ancestors and their lessons enable us to awaken what we really, really are trying to reawaken right now. I think number one reason is so that we find our humanity. But it is a state of clairsentience. It's something that people talk about when they have the near-death experience, which is a clear awareness. It's clairsentience is defined as clear awareness, the ability to sense or be aware of things beyond the normal range of perception, you know, clear sensing. And that's basically what it means. And for your visual sight, your ability, your vision, you have the clairvoyance, which is clear vision. Clair means clear, you know. So it's clear vision, the ability to see beyond the normal spectrum, to see what is not in sight and cannot be seen in, you know, this dimensional capacity. So I often found it helpful to say the mind's eye, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that is the third eye we're talking about, clairvoyance. And then there is the sense of hearing and clairaudience or clear hearing, the ability to hear the sounds and voices beyond the normal range of hearing. And we're getting, the science is backing this stuff up. There are machines that are measuring these extrasensual capacities, these extrasensory abilities these days. And the phenomenon that has arisen from our technology, I mean, you know, like white noise, EVP, you know?
Mm-hmm.
With clairaudience, it's we can hear spirit speaking in the ant wars. You know, they find a way to break through, you know, walk across or punch through the veils, and we're getting very close to that time. You know, the end of this month is the Day of the Dead for my ancestors. I'm a Celt. It's Samhain, and It's time to be breaking between worlds, you know, clearing from the veil. And all of these extrasensual abilities or extrasensory abilities, the clairaudience, clear hearing. Then there's the ability to touch. I ask you something. Have you ever been laying in bed at night and thought there was somebody else, you know, like a cat walking on the bed or something?
Yep.
Or have you ever been in all by yourself in a elevator going down, and all of a sudden you feel someone standing next to you, right up on you?
Yeah, but I think I process that in a funny kind of way. It's like, you know, your dismissal of it. You're just like, oh no, there's nothing, you know, and you dismiss it so quickly. At least I do something.
Well, it's actually that extrasensory touch, it's called clairkinesthesia.
Wow.
And it's clear touching, which is the ability to tangibly feel and sense a physical touch that you can't see, that only your extrasensory capacity is enabling, you know, an experience of.
Mm-hmm.
And then
like
there's
feeling a hand on your shoulder or your arm or something. I've felt that.
Yes. Oh, yes. I've felt that before. I felt it's woken me up at night. And then I immediately have clair olfaction, which is clear smelling. And I usually smell scotch whiskey. And
oh,
then
wow.
I know my mother's been there. I kissed my mom every night that I lived with her, you know? It's probably one of the best things I ever did in my life was I kissed my mother goodnight every night that I was with her. And my mom, not every night, but many nights, I could smell scotch because my mom would have one cocktail, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I could smell the scotch. And so that is a big one for me. But I've had clair olfaction in many different ways. I've smelled gardenias where I have no business smelling them. I've smelled a lot of people who experience seeing the Virgin Mother or who they think is the mother. They smell roses, especially down in this part of the world. Conyers, Georgia, and all of that, where all the sightings go on. The manifestation of roses and the scent of rose is huge.
Wow. Well, it seems this is what it's all about, isn't it? To be able to clear yourself enough and put down your burden and put down your baggage so that you don't necessarily dismiss it and go back to the chatter in your head and the worries and all these things that are so distracting.
No,
but instead,
study it. Understand what it really is. It's not the great booga booga. It's the great adventure. It's the great awakening.
Mm-hmm.
We're already
to be
at
able.
And
yeah, look at that. You know, there's a lot to talk about with these things, and that I'll just say that being able to hear spirit has been so important to me, and ACE has always been a great, you know, kind of goal, because, like, he came in here kind of with that turned on by hearing and being able to communicate so well with spirit. And so through my time of working with the two of you, I started to understand it, and now it's really... That's a lot of the goal for clearing myself, that I can hear spirit, because I know that a lot of times it's me talking to me, and it's all part of me. So it's like tuning into your true guidance instead of the chatter.
We are back to trusting and developing and refining and honing your own instincts and intuitions, because those are the tools that are helping us to awaken ourselves so we can awaken others. And I think the first mission, as stated in Flash Silver Moon's new layout, the first mission really is in finding our lost humanity on this planet. Woo! Yeah, it's like, and if there are a few UFOs around with some folks up there, I'm like, well, if y'all can join the party and give us a few clues. Or if not, if you're there sneaking around or something, it's you know, this is the rodeo we came to, you know. This is an adventure. It's an adventure. This is basically, I think, the remedy for a lot of our, you know, when we get... caught in the accelerated emotions and stresses and such, we have to remember the big adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, like when they powered up the Millennium Falcon, I'm going to tell you, man, I got a bad feeling about it. And it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
It means that we're going to have an adventure. And we're the good guys, and, you know, it's, I know I sound simplistic, and...
No, that's why I love Doctor Who so much, because it's all about flying around by the seat of your pants and just hoping for the best, man.
And the reason I reach back to that is because my teacher was Joe Campbell, and he was a great believer in the power of myth in our ordinary, everyday life, to bring us to that place of embracing our lives for the real, the very real personal myth that we're creating as our lives. People forget. Our lives are an adventure, man. You know, why do you think so many people are such great storytellers? Catching that fish was like, you know, landing Moby Dick. It was not really a 15-pound trout. It was actually Moby motherfucking Dick, man. We got them. We, you know, come on. We have a flair for that. It's our delivery, you know.
Mhm. Absolutely.
We are at
great.
The end.
Yeah, man. Good talk.
We act. And I would like to say we certainly appreciate our listeners, and always remember that you can call in. Sorry, I didn't say that. I'll put tonight. But please remember to check out the I Love Nicole Show at ilovenicoleshow.com, correct?
ilovenicoleshow.com, yes.
And dogdevices.com. Come over and see us. We appreciate your patronage. Keep listening. And we will be back next Thursday with the Consciousness Shift. We will post our guest. Hey, Nick, thanks.
Thank you, Glenn. Good night.
Good night, everybody.